The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
And I have to tell you, I'm very disappointed in NATO, very. I think that NATO, I think it's a mark on NATO that will never disappear, in my mind. And you know, the old days, to the victim, okay? You know that. To the winner belong the spoils, go the spoils. And I've said, why don't we use it? To the victor, go the spoils. And we don't have that. We haven't had that in this country probably in 100 years, because even the Second World War, you look at the Second World War, we didn't have it with the Second World War. We helped rebuild all those countries. We rebuilt Germany. How about Germany telling us that, it's not their war. We had nothing to do with it. They wanted me to go and tell them everything I was doing. We didn't know anything about it. Well, if I would have told them, they would have leaked it.
And so you ask yourself, well, what is in it for the United States? And I've been a big supporter of NATO. And one of the reasons why I've been a supporter of NATO is because I believe that these basing rights give us leverage and give us flexibility and operational capability all over the world. But if NATO is just about us defending Europe if they're attacked, but them denying us basing rights when we need them, that's not a very good arrangement. That's a hard one to stay engaged in and say this is good for the United States. So all of them's going to have to be re-examined. If we decided tomorrow that we were going to remove our troops from Europe, that would be the end of NATO.
You voiced your displeasure with NATO in the past. Is there a danger to the U.S. not being the de facto of the leader of the alliance, and then other powers within the alliance then getting the decision making when it comes to wars and nuclear weapons?
No, it's not a danger. We went to NATO. I didn't ask very strongly. I just said, hey, if you want to help, great. No, we will not help. I said, that's all right. You don't want to help? Because I've always said NATO's a paper tiger. See, NATO's a paper tiger. Putin's not afraid of NATO. Putin's afraid of us, very afraid of us. And he's explained it to me a lot of times. I got to know him very well. I know him very well. NATO's a paper tiger. NATO is us. And when we needed them, but we didn't need them, by the way. We didn't need them, obviously, because they haven't helped at all. Just the opposite. They've actually gone out of their way not to help. They didn't even want to give us landing strips. Think of it. And it's not just NATO. You know who else didn't help us? South Korea didn't help us. You know who else didn't help us? Australia didn't help us. You know who else didn't help us? Japan. We've got 50,000 soldiers in Japan to protect them from North Korea. We have 45,000 soldiers in South Korea to protect us from Kim Jong-un, who I get along with very well, as you know. Do you notice he said very nice things about me? He used to call Joe Biden a mentally retarded person, okay? So don't tell me about your stuff. Joe Biden, he said he's a mentally retarded person. He was so nasty to Joe Biden. It was terrible. But to me, he likes Trump. And do you notice how nice things are with North Korea? It's very nice. But we have 45,000 people, soldiers, in harm's way, and right next to Kim Jong-un with a lot of nuclear weapons, 45, which should have never happened. If a certain president, I'm not going to mention this president because I happen to like him, believe it or not, but if a certain president did his job, Kim Jong-un would not have nuclear weapons right now. But they were all afraid to do their job properly. But just to conclude and just to finish, Japan didn't help us, Australia didn't help us, South Korea didn't help us, and then you get to NATO, NATO didn't help us.
He definitely speaks like a king. Have you ever noticed that when it comes to any other world leader, wait, maybe there's a few exceptions, but they're so careful and measured, they don't want to offend. I mean, he speaks his mind. And as you heard there, a lot of what he says is true. But, you know, we've also talked about one thing that this president is particularly good at, and he's good at a lot of things. He is really good at accelerating the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Lots and lots to get to. You can get to the live video stream of this show at our website, thetrumpet.com, or at the Rumble channel or the YouTube channel, any of those three platforms. And also you can watch each of these programs after the fact on demand. So where do you begin? I think of the March issue of the Trumpet, how that the world is aligning against America. I mean, that's significant. That's significant. And then, you know, blowing up NATO. I think last time I checked, Marco Rubio, he's sort of seen as your more traditional mainstream Republican. And yet there he is on his interview saying, you know, look, if we can't get any benefits out of NATO, what's the point of keeping our troops there? So what kind of world will it be? I mean, you see, you hear the resentment. President Trump saying we've got troops over in Japan. We've got troops in Germany and they're not going to help us. Well, then why should we help them? And so what kind of world does it turn out to be when the U.S. is gone, when the U.S. is no longer the world's policeman? You heard President Trump try to get out to the victor, go to the spoils. And he's right. It wasn't like this 100 years ago. If you conquer someone like Germany, well, then Germany becomes yours, you know, Germany. But we are so accustomed to going in America, of course, rebuilding Japan, rebuilding Germany. And now you see the resentment of American leadership after all we've done to make sure you survived, to make sure you were rebuilt, to fund your protection, your security blanket. And this is the thanks we get. I mean, Iran, like I said a week or two ago, Iran, it should be the easiest subject to unite the world. I mean, in support of America. Listen, we've got the number one state sponsor in terrorism. We'd like some help, certainly in the Strait of Hormuz. Are you up for that? You would think people would be lining up. Instead, they're aligning against America. It says something about their hatred, their contempt for America, and it says something about how that they have gone along for the ride for as long as possible, milking everything out of Uncle Sam that they can get before we finally kill ourselves. That's what we're seeing. This other, the more recent one, decades of warnings about Germany. I've got a couple of stories in the stack today about German industry. And my father has said a lot about the influence, the power of German industry when it comes to policymaking, when it comes to rebuilding the new German war machine. But what about NATO? We'll start there. There's so many different angles because, as I say, I mean, this is a president that is especially good at accelerating multiple Bible prophecies. And we know just the fact that, you know, God brought him back. And he's fulfilling a king-like role. And you listen to him talk, and, I mean, it should be obvious. Here he was left for dead. And in fact, they tried to assassinate him in 2024. God brought him back. But for a reason quite unlike what so many of the preachers believe, as I played on yesterday's show, he's giving us a chance to turn. I'm talking about God. He's giving us a chance to turn to him, to turn from our wicked ways. On this program, we'll read the entirety of that verse in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. If we turn from our wicked ways, then God will hear. Then God will forgive. Then God will heal. You heard it here first. NATO is going to break up. It has to. In order for prophecy to be fulfilled, It has to break up in 2018, September 2018 issue of The Trumpet. It says, when the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, started back in 1949, its basic purpose was to protect disarmed Germany and other European countries from the Russian-led Soviet Union. To accomplish this, the treaty established collective defense for member nations. Further on, it says, why would these nations want to do that? Well, it talks about the secret deal that Europe entered into on Nord Stream with Russia. Even as European nations and leaders were saying, Putin's a threat. We've got to help Ukraine. I mean, that came along later once that war broke out. But you see, as my father brings out in this 2018 piece, all the double dealing, the back channel negotiations, the deals behind closed doors, how much of that's going on today? As the whole world is listening to Donald Trump just absolutely eviscerate their leadership. They don't like it. They hate the United States, and it's becoming more difficult for them to conceal that, to camouflage that. This is from an article last year, about a year ago. NATO is, in effect, dead. Military alliances are based on trust. After World War II, Germany was permitted to join a military alliance under the U.S. security umbrella. In fact, Germany was only allowed to have a military within the NATO alliance and not independent from it. The Allies had only partial confidence in Germany, just as Germans were only cautiously reliant on U.S. protection. Today, both fear and trust have vanished. And pretty soon, U.S. troops will vanish. It says, besides trust, NATO today lacks common goals and enemies. Some Americans see no need to deter Russia from taking parts of Europe. Some Europeans see no need to isolate China as it gears up for a trade war and a hot war with the U.S. Our world order of the last 80 years is unraveling. Europe is uniting under a newly militarized Germany without American restraint. It says few dare to consider what it means. It's because they're not using the Bible to shed light on these dramatic, earth-shaking events. People just carry on, and I mean, you've got this spaceship flying around the moon, and people writing commentary saying, you know, America's back. I mean, we could do anything. And then you have President Trump for his part. I mean, we're stronger. We could obliterate Iran, and we don't even need oil coming from Hormuz or through that strait. We're lulling ourselves to sleep. We're burying our heads in the sand. We've got all of this technology. It's exactly as Mr. Armstrong said back in the 60s and 70s. The great paradox of our day, all of this technological advancement, and yet the appalling evils, evil men, seducers, waxing worse and worse, as I read yesterday. I didn't even get through all the scripture blitz on yesterday's show. Just the way the Bible describes the world today, this present evil world. NATO is, in effect, dead. That's what you heard in the cold open. It's over. Again, some of these things take a little time to play out, but, you know, from God's perspective, what's 70 years? What's 80 years? What's 47 years? What's 5 or 10 years? We're coming down to the wire, though. You can see it. You've got a king-like president. He's saying things unlike any president in the last couple generations. And the world, you think the world likes it? You think they're embracing it? You think the world, you think world leaders like being scolded and rebuked publicly? They hate it. And they hate America. This is Donald Trump talking about the Iran war. He's giving them another deadline, basically saying he's going to, you know, obliterate them. Tonight, I think it is, if they don't get some kind of a deal. This is clip 8.
doing unbelievably well, well at a level that nobody's ever seen before. The entire country could be taken out in one night, and that night might be tomorrow night.
President, your messaging on the war has moved from the war is coming to an end to we're going to be bombing Iran to the Stone Ages. Right. And we've heard a range of those kind of messages. So are you? So which is it? Are you winding this down?
Can't tell you.
Are you escalating?
I can't tell you. I don't know. I can't tell. It depends what they do. This is a critical period. They have a period of, well, till tomorrow at 8 o'clock. I gave them an extension. They asked for an extension of 7 days, right? I said, Steve, give them 10 days. 10 days is up actually today, so I gave them 11, I guess, indirectly. I thought it was inappropriate the day after Easter. I want to be a nice person. They have till tomorrow. Now, we'll see what happens. I can tell you they're negotiating, we think, in good faith. We're going to find out. We're getting the help of some incredible countries that want this to be ended because it affects them also. A lot of people are affected by this, but we're giving them till tomorrow, 8 o'clock Eastern time. And after that, they're going to have no bridges. They're going to have no power plants. Stone Ages. Yeah.
The Stone Age. I'm just trying to pull up this, tweet that he sent out this morning. A whole civilization will die tonight, never to be brought back again. And then he says at the end, God bless the great people of Iran. It's like one guy tweeted, I don't exactly see how the first and the last sentence go together. He's going to obliterate the whole civilization dies tonight. But he sure loves those people of Iran. It's like I said yesterday on the show. I mean, more and more you're seeing talk like that. And then the Easter Bunny smiling away, standing next to obliterate Iran. And then meanwhile, you step back, as I said, the whole world is lining up against the United States. If you haven't subscribed yet to the Trumpet magazine, tomorrow's news today, make sure as you watch world events like Jesus told us to, and pray always that you're using the clear light of Bible prophecy in order to analyze what it is that's happening and to know the significance. Here's more from President Trump yesterday, clip 9.
We have a plan because of the power of our military, where every bridge in Iran will be decimated by 12 o'clock tomorrow night, where every power plant in Iran will be out of business, burning, exploding, and never to be used again. I mean, complete demolition by 12 o'clock. And it'll happen over a period of 4 hours if we wanted to. We don't want that to happen. We may even get involved with helping them rebuild their nation. And you know what? If that's the case, the last thing we want to do is start with power plants, which are among the most expensive thing, and bridges.
I'm old enough to remember when the complete demolition was last summer. It was completely obliterated, at least the nuclear program. And here we are again. And as I've said, I mean, at least he's doing something. And he's doing it alone, I guess, with Israel. Outside of that, no help from Europe, no help from Japan, no help from our so-called allies in Southeast Asia. Just ridicule, scorn. It's not my war. What do I have to do with it? That's Germany's position. And meanwhile, the German factories are building a new war machine. Where's this leading? This is not going to end well. President Trump said it himself. War is different today. The rules for the United States, for Great Britain, and for little Israel is that if you go in and maybe there is partial obliteration, then you've got to turn around and rebuild that nation. That's the way it works. Now, when the new war machine is finished, You think Germany? Do you think Russia? Do you think China are thinking that way? You know what? I just think America needs to be punched in the nose, but then, you know, we'll go in and fix everything up after the fact. You think that's the way America's enemies are thinking? You better think again. We're living in a world filled with turmoil, with fighting, with division, with bombs exploding. And it's only just the start. It's the beginning of sorrows, as Jesus said in Matthew 24. And we better prepare ourselves for what's coming. I mean, yes, in a centuries of old, you conquer Japan, you take over Japan. I mean, America used to think that way. Certainly Great Britain, the greatest empire this world has ever seen. But the people of Israel, they don't think that way anymore. Now we rebuild, and now we're encouraging our traditional enemies. Please, would you get stronger? Would you build more military equipment? Listen to France 24 over in Europe, clip 4.
Yeah, Donald Trump, in his primetime address on Wednesday, again badgered traditional allies, particularly when it came to the energy crisis that the war with Iran has triggered. So when you have a superpower that's got 38,000 troops in Europe, leaders, even if they don't agree with him, handle him with care. But we have seen this week Italy refusing a plane to land at an airbase in Sicily, for instance. We saw France and Spain dig in on that regards. Is Europe finding its feet in terms of pushing back?
Probably it's the beginning of a process, and just the beginning. It's a new situation in which precisely they still need Americans, but they know that they cannot trust Americans anymore. And not just because of Trump, but because of the long trend of the United States, which was more or less the same even at the time of Obama, if you want, because the pivot to Asia was a kind of disengagement from the Mediterranean in general, Europe as well. There is a book of memories, political memories written.
Memoirs.
Written by Helmut Schmidt.
The former German chancellor.
Exactly. In 1986 it was published, and he said, this trend of taking away, giving, going away from Europe or taking distances from Europe started with Jimmy Carter. So it's a long trend, and today we arrived to a point where it looks like we are at the decisive turning point.
Notice how everything is going to be framed with the U.S. being the enemy. You know, we still need America to some degree. In other words, we want to milk everything we can get out of America, but we can't trust them. We can't trust, especially Donald Trump, especially Orange Hitler. I mean, look at what he's doing. How in the world does America finally retaliating against the 47-year war against America that the mullahs have waged? How does this war turn into not a war of America and Israel against Iran? It's America, Israel against Iran, China, Russia, Europe, the world, as the Trumpet magazine brings out. It's aligning against America. And that's significant from a Bible prophecy standpoint. And we can go on and on saying, look, we've got a spaceship that's orbiting the moon. We've got all this push-button warfare. We're stronger than we've ever been. The economy's, it's stronger than ever. Meanwhile, the world is preparing for war. And as I say, Europe is finding it harder, as you heard there, to conceal its contempt for America. And they're going to frame, they are dead set on framing the Iran war as failure. Failure brought on by Orange Hitler. Failure brought on by the United States. Here's clip six.
But really, when did the United States lose that hegemonic status? Because there are some who still argue that it is still the hegemon, right? It owns financial services. It owns the internet to a large degree. It has the world's largest military. It's not over yet, the United States.
No, it's not over yet. And this is the problem, because it is still the by far the most powerful country in the world. Let's think only to the military side of the stuff. So it's powerful enough to make big disasters, but it's not an hegemon anymore, in the sense that the hegemon is able to control the situation. And the United States today is not controlling the situation, not in the world, is not controlling the situation of the United States. That's the problem.
We're in such a crucially important transition. And you see it. You see it with the actions on the ground. You're seeing it in the commentary. This is, as we've said before, with respect to that all-important Seagate, Hormuz. Lots of parallels with what happened back in 1956. You know, there's some parallels with what happened in the late 60s, too. The rush to get to the moon. And here you had all of this technology, these spectacular events, as far as modern technology go, together with all the turmoil that the world headed into in the 1970s. The stakes are so much higher today. Orbiting the moon, I mean, what a paradox. Here's one more from France 24, clip 7.
So a country that was able to win from 1941, 1945, two different wars, one in Europe and one in Asia, against two superpower, military superpower like Germany and Japan, notice that they discovered that they were no longer able to win a small war against a guerrilla. So it was, they called that a half war in the military
language. Right, and since then they've had the setbacks in Iraq, in Afghanistan. We've had this period of peace in Europe, really since even during the Cold War to a large degree. So we've had this long period of peace. When does war become possible? We've heard the French chief of staff saying, we could be at war within 3 years.
Talk about enlargement of the European Union almost always revolves around economic issues. But in 2026, with the US-Israeli war on Iran, some states are now looking to Brussels to make them safer. So are Trump and Netanyahu inadvertently creating a stronger EU?
Creating a stronger EU. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of people that laugh at that. The Bible talks about scoffers in the last days. But listen, if you're a Trumpet subscriber, decades of warnings about Germany. When it happens, you'll know. You'll know where you got it first. It's the only place you hear it. Even today. Even today. The Telegraph has a piece. Carmaker's eye defense gold rush as Germany guns for growth. Talks about this Cologne-based Deutz, I guess is how you say it. Germany's oldest engine maker. Well, they're getting in step with some of the others in German industry. Well, we've got to switch that over to armaments. Could this really be happening, given what happened in the last century? This guy took a survey, I guess, of the employees. Hey, what do you think about switching over and building, you know, military equipment? The response surprised him. His engineers embraced the new technical challenge, and the wider staff welcomed both the potential job opportunities and the chance to help protect Germany from new threats. You see, it's all about protecting ourselves. We've got to get ready. There may be war in 2 or 3 years. So we've got to be ready to defend ourselves against Putin. I mean, they always have that. But then against America, look at what America's doing. America's blowing up the world. It says here, that's not necessary. Backing up. I wasn't sure. Would people sort of shout at me? But they said, yeah. For decades, he says, Germans had assumed that the U.S. and NATO would handle any security threats. That's not necessarily a given anymore. If there's a new threat, then sometimes mindsets change. That's what's happening now. This is important, is it not? The German mindset is changing. The factories, they're changing, they're transitioning. What kind of world will it be when Germany is ready for war, when Germany is strong enough to go to war? Is that going to be a safer world? Is that going to be a world where the Board of Peace is going to be ending one war after another war after another war? Listen, you heard yesterday on the program. I'm not only telling you what commentators are going to say, all the way up to the point when the bombs start dropping, the preachers are going to be saying the same thing. Yeah, we're entering into a golden age. Look at, we sent a ship around the moon. Look at what we're doing. There's nothing that America can't do. Copied a tweet into my notes if I can find it quick enough. If you guys have it, pull it up on the screen. Here we go. U.S. is in a vibe shift. It's now the age of heroes and miracles. U.S. hockey team takes gold. U.S. military rescues the pilots in Iran. Artemis II travels to the far side of the moon. Whether it's on ice, in air, or in space, Americans can do the impossible. America can do the impossible. There's nothing that can stop us. That thinking is going to be embedded into the American mindset, certainly the MAGA mindset. Yeah, no, nobody can stop us. We're too strong. We're too powerful. We're too big to fail. It says here, it's not only, switching back to the Telegraph piece, it's not only mindsets that are changing. Germany has handed a huge pot of gold to its military, and the country's vast but beleaguered industrial machine is pivoting towards it. And the article says, yeah, they want to produce all of their equipment, all the military hardware, you know, in-house, so to speak. So that, well, obviously the military benefits from it, but so does German industry. They're going to be swimming in cash. Money for everyone in Germany helps the economy, and it helps us build the new war machine. Isn't that amazing? It says here, 10 years ago, big industrial companies tried to get rid of everything which was somehow defense related. Defense was like porn and cigarettes. Nobody wanted to get involved. It looked really bad on your corporate social responsibility reports. 10 years ago, think about the mindset that has changed in just 10 years, just one decade. And now, here again, I'm old enough to know that a decade can go by just like that, with the snap of a finger almost. 10 years ago, these companies, they said, no thanks, nothing defense related, no can do. It says now, really the opposite is the case. It's about how can we help? How can we benefit? How can we bring new technologies and innovation into the armed forces? This is the Daily Telegraph. This is like a British newspaper writing in, what, 1935? Yeah, look at what they're doing. The German war machine. It's in full motion. It's great. It's really helping Germany's economy. It's going to make Germany stronger. And, you know, we kind of need a stronger Germany. So it can handle some affairs if it gets a little messy in Eastern Europe or wherever. Look at how foolish that kind of reporting was made to be just a few years later. And I'm here to tell you, it's going to happen again. And we're going to be looking back on articles like this You know, yesterday I talked about looking back at Easter bunnies and trying to explain this to our young people, our children, in the wonderful world tomorrow. Think about history classes in the world tomorrow, where we're talking about the world today, and this is how it all exploded just years before Jesus Christ returned to this earth and set up and established the kingdom of God on earth. And our children, they're going to raise their hands and say, "You mean the German war machine got going again?" And they wrote about it in Britain, in the United States, and they applauded it. They said it was wonderful. And then just a few years later, war broke out. How did they not know? Why were they surprised yet again? The level of cooperation between the German government and German industry, I mean, it is as strong as ever. And here again, the trumpet told you this years ago. We were right. We continue to be right. Keller says, well, backing up, it says, a few weeks ago, Defense Minister Boris Pistorius, the Economic Minister Katerina met 100 chief executives from defense and non-defense companies to explore deeper collaboration. Keller says this is unprecedented in Germany. Well, I'm not sure if it's unprecedented. I think there was some deep collaboration the last time we were in World War, when he worked for then Defense Minister Ursula von der Leyen in the 2010s, not a single CEO of a defense company was ever seen at the ministry. All that's changing. Now, I mean, there's deep collaboration. This other article from The Express. This week, Germany carried out its largest medical exercise in decades as Russia's threat to Europe increases the possibility of large-scale war. They're writing about large-scale war in Europe. As if it's just, you know, ho-hum, another topic at the Thanksgiving dinner. The NATO exercise took place in Lithuania and simulated evacuating wounded soldiers from the country and transporting them to hospitals across Germany. In a worst-case scenario of full-scale war, experts believe the system could face up to 1,000 casualties a day. Just going through, just in case there's world war, we've got to be ready for the casualties. The article titled, Germany Preparing for All-Out War by Rehearsing Mass Evacuations, says in response to the heightened situation, Germany has deployed permanent troops abroad for the first time since World War II. There's another first. First since World War II. Troops abroad, says further on, quoting some guy, I've never experienced a situation which is as dangerous, as urgent as it is today. So what we're seeing, what we're facing is a threat from Russia. We've got to do it. We have no choice. And then the bad orange man comes around and, I mean, it's even more serious and more urgent than we could have imagined before. The perfect excuse. And meanwhile, as I said on the show yesterday, you've got all the preachers out there saying, hey, there's no stopping America. This is like that guy said on his tweet. There is no stopping America. This too from the Telegraph. It says NASA's moon astronauts have flown further from Earth than anyone before them in a milestone for humankind. The four crew members were in tears as they celebrated the record abroad, their tiny Orion capsule, nearly 250,000 miles from home. NASA announced the news on Monday, saying a new milestone for humankind. The crew of Artemis II are now the farthest any human has ever traveled, reaching a maximum distance of 252,000 miles from Earth. I mean, this is phenomenal. It is. It is spectacular. When you think about what man has been able to do, the things he's been able to create, produce. Well, there was an acceleration of that kind of development before the flood, during the days of the Tower of Babel. And what happened? You go back before those two events, to Genesis 3, I mean, and you see where mankind was cut off from God's truth, from God's knowledge, from God's spirit, and left to go it alone. And God, I mean, God, he equipped man with an incredible mind power. God made that. God created that. God created the human spirit, and man has been able to produce technological wonders these past 6,000 years, and it's only accelerated like it has in the last century or so. I mean, so much it makes your head spin. But like Mr. Armstrong said, I mean, what also is accelerating is the pace of evil, the pace of fulfilled prophecies when it comes to everything the Bible says about the last days, the way it's going to be on this earth, in this nation, just before Jesus returns to this earth. That's prophesied. That's going to be the most stunning and shocking headline this world has ever seen. The second coming of Jesus Christ. I mean, we can get really excited about NASA and Artemis. And there's certainly a lot to be excited about there. I think Mr. Hilliker wrote about it in the morning brief. But we may have traveled a greater distance away from Earth than ever in human history. It's a pretty good metaphor for how far we've traveled away from God spiritually. Have we ever been this far removed from God? After completing their trip around the moon on Monday night, the crew were congratulated on board their capsule by Donald Trump. The U.S. president told the astronauts they had made America really proud and invited them to the White House when they returned to Earth. Well, we'll have to see if they accept the invitation. Because, I mean, if recent events are any indication, it's about a 50-50 call. People that absolutely want to go to the White House, or people that hate Orange Hitler so much, they can't go. They just can't do it. That's the world we live in. Yeah, we can actually circle the moon. And we can have the worst kind of, and even the most violent kind of hatred and animosity. He says, you really are modern-day pioneers, President Trump said. You've got a lot of courage doing what you're doing. Humans have never really seen anything quite like what you're doing. It's really special. And it is special. It is special. I think one of the guys that was on the moon landing from 1969 commenting on just how he was struck, looking back on Earth and seeing just how beautiful this planet was from the moon and how peaceful it looked. And then you zoom in to the surface of the Earth and you get a very different picture, don't you? That's because of the human heart. That's because of Jeremiah 17:9. That's because of Romans 8 and verse 7. That's because of Revelation 12 and verse 9. It's because of 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. It's because of Ephesians 2 and verse 2. Should I keep going? If a preacher who claims to be God's representative is not telling you what the Bible says about the earth and the people on this earth in the last days before Jesus Christ returns, well, you better beware. Jesus actually said there's going to be a lot of false prophets preaching about Jesus. It's in Matthew 24. It says here, quoting an astronaut, when we began this burn toward the moon, I said that we do not leave Earth, we choose it. And that's true. We will explore, we will build, we will build ships, we will visit again, we will construct science outposts, we will drive rovers, we will do radio astronomy. It says, but ultimately, we will always choose Earth, we will always choose each other. Sounds pretty good. I mean, it almost sounds like a spiritual advisor to the President of the United States. We're going to choose Earth. We're going to choose peace. We're going to choose each other. And then what happens? Well, the bombs go off. More explosions. More obliteration. More demolition. Even as we get tweets about nothing, nothing being able to stop us, nothing impossible for America. Listen to Mr. Armstrong. This is from a 1981 sermon that he gave, clip 11.
We're in a world of awesome progress today. The progress in this world, the things that the world has accomplished and done are all absolutely awesome. On the other hand, we're seeing in the world appalling troubles and evils. Troubles and evils that man is unable to solve. In spite of our ability to fly men to the moon and back and come board around up there on the moon and send back live pictures that we can see in our own living rooms on television of them cavorting around on the moon, leaping, and they take a higher leap up there because of very little gravity. Why this paradox? Why is it we're able to do such awesome things and still the world is in such trouble? Why is everybody against everybody? Why is it husband and wife can't get along? Parents can't get along with children or children with parents? Families can't get along with next door neighbor? Now, man can go to the moon and back, but man can't seem to solve his problems and his troubles. Why? What's the matter with the human mind?
You know, I would ask one more question, in addition to the ones that he asked. Why aren't there more preachers saying that? Saying what you just heard right there. Talking about this paradox. Talking about, even as there's this golden age of, well, we'll play along. There's certainly a golden age of technological development. But what is wrong with the human heart? What is wrong with our families, with our marriages? What is wrong with all of these peace agreements that keep blowing up? What does it say about our world when even as we're creating spaceships that can go around the moon and back, we're also creating push-button armaments of war. We've also created bombs that can blow up the Earth many times over. We have enough power to circle the Earth with a mushroom cloud. So, you know, you have to see, you have to see the paradox, don't you? If you're going to make sense of this world, why did Jesus even say in that Olivet prophecy? Now, I want you to watch world events and pray always. You know what else he said? Pray that you might be worthy to escape. Escape what? Why would we need to escape? What is Jesus talking about? That's the time we're coming into. And I mean, whether you're a commentator or a preacher, it should be obvious. But it's not. It's not. It's like, I don't have time to play the clip. Maybe I can. This little boy, a toddler, being attacked. And he's attacked by a wolf or something at a zoo, I believe it was. And the parents completely unaware because they're glued to their devices. They're glued to technology. They're fascinated with technology. I think we have time. Play clip 10.
A family outing at Hershey Park Zoo America in Pennsylvania on Saturday turned into a frightening scene after a 17-month toddler wandered away from his parents and stuck his hand under the fence of a wolf enclosure. Zoo officials say one of three wolves in the enclosure grabbed the child's hand with its mouth. Quick-thinking bystanders pulled the child to safety. He suffered minor injuries. Police say the toddler squeezed through a small opening in a perimeter fence and crawled into the restricted section near the wolf exhibit. Investigators allege that the child's parents were distracted by their cell phones and sat on a nearby bench about 30 feet away from the wolf enclosure. Zoo America says our habitats are designed with multiple layers of protection, adding guests are expected to remain within designated areas and closely supervise children at all times.
It's the perfect metaphor, isn't it? Now, I'm not going to sit here and say I've never been distracted, even distracted away from something that's, you know, important, but it nevertheless perfectly illustrates what's wrong with our world, with our nations. You know, we're glued to our devices, and 30 feet away, there's a toddler being attacked, so to speak. 30 feet away. All of this material knowledge. I mean, we've got the Smithsonian in our back pocket. We've got the Library of Congress in our back pocket. And we can't seem to fix our marriages. And we can't seem to raise our kids right. And we can't seem to stay out of, you know, abusive relationships. And we can't seem to avoid promiscuity and divorce and abortion. All of this material knowledge and advancement. And it's like Mr. Armstrong said there, it's been awesome. And yet morally and spiritually, total bankruptcy. You can't deny it if your eyes are open to the truth, if you're studying the Word of God, if you're hearing the words of Christ. Now listen up, students, students of the Bible, students of Bible prophecy. You better watch and you better pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape the missing dimension in sex. Mr. Armstrong says, what is wrong? Is it wrong to acquire or possess knowledge? No, but there are two kinds of knowledge, true and false, right and wrong, good and evil. It says, in pursuit of knowledge, man has used one source, the scientific method of experimentation, discovery, and reason. And along with that, I mean, we've rejected revelation from God. And so we can create a spaceship and orbit the moon. But we can't fix a broken marriage. We can't raise obedient, contented little toddlers and children. We just can't do it. The traditional family, there's been a total breakdown, and all of society is unraveling because of it. The paradox of our time. Mr. Armstrong had a lot to say about that in Missing Dimension and Sex, and then there's a classic article, I think from 1968, in The Plain Truth, about that paradox of our time. Speaking of time, that's all the time that we have for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.